Well, this morning I want to speak on the subject of fellowship, the fellowship of the saints. We know that fellowship isn't friendship. You can have friendship without having fellowship. Fellowship's much deeper than friendship, isn't it? Fellowship is first of all to do with our relationship with God. If we know God as our Father and we know Jesus Christ as our Saviour, if we have oneness with God, if we have peace with God, then we also have peace with one another, and we're at one with one another, and we have a spiritual unity with each other. We have fellowship, and that fellowship needs to be fostered and encouraged and strengthened. Because we know God and because His Spirit dwells in each one of us, we have fellowship with one another. And we know that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. And we sense that there's a oneness. When you meet another believer, you sense that there's a oneness with that person. You know that you're united to them. You have all things in common. We had a Brazilian couple with us, and we felt, didn't we, at one with them, though the lady in particular, see that she couldn't speak the English language very well, you sensed a oneness with her. And they really demonstrated fellowship, and we were able to demonstrate fellowship to them. It was lovely that people in the church took them on outings. 7 different families had them for meals. And it was a lovely time. People gave them lifts to the station, brought them from the station. And they've expressed their fellowship in many ways. They were going to Italy afterwards, and they planned to go to visit Venice, and they planned to visit Rome. They bought their tickets and they bought their accommodation, but last minute they changed all their plans, and they decided to visit a Brazilian in need in Italy, in another city, and they cancelled all their tickets, cancelled their accommodation, and they went to spend time with a lady whose husband's in hospital because of a drugs problem. I thought, that's a wonderful sense of fellowship, isn't it? There they were, had a time in the UK, and they wanted now to journey and see a little bit of Europe, but no, they felt they ought to support a needy Brazilian lady in Italy. Well, we're going to look at a few verses at the end of Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to consider 3 things: the fellowship of prayer, the fellowship of sharing, and fellowship in the Father and in the Son. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 18 to 24. We've looked at this book for several months on a Sunday evening, but I'd like to complete this book on a Sunday morning. And we've considered 3 sermons on the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And now Paul begins to talk about prayer. So we're coming in at verse 18. Ephesians 6:18, he says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be with you all. Peace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. When we were looking at the passage on spiritual warfare, I found an oppression in my spirit. I didn't find it easy to preach on that passage. I found it in many ways a battle to preach upon it, because we were speaking about the wicked one and how he opposes the church of Jesus Christ, how he opposes God's people. And how God has given us an armour, a complete armour, that in the evil day we may be able to stand. And there was tremendous encouragement for us in that passage. When our minds are attacked, and when our feelings are attacked, what's that? That's what the enemy does. He attacks us in our thoughts, in our thought life, with temptations, with doubts. He attacks our feelings. He makes us feel very unworthy, and so unworthy that we feel we cannot live the Christian life, and we ought not to live the Christian life, although we feel we ought to, we can't, and we become depressed about ourselves, and we feel like giving up. The enemy attacks us, but we've been given a helmet of salvation. It's wonderful, isn't it? All the promises of God assuring us that we belong to him, and he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes again. We've been given a shield of faith, and so we need to take up the shield of faith, that when all those fiery darts come against us, they may be extinguished. We've been given a sword to use, the word of God. And then he says, there's something else. There's prayer. And prayer is a wonderful weapon. Satan trembles when he sees Christians praying. When we pray for one another, God hears and God works. Do you believe that prayer really works? Not because there's a power in prayer of itself, but because God has chosen, that means he inspires prayer. And as we pray, he loves to hear those prayers that are according to his will. And he loves to respond, and he loves to work, and he loves to change situations. God uses prayer. The apostle has been speaking much about prayer in this little letter, and he ends by speaking about prayer. In one sense, you could say we're moving a little way away from the battlefield, and we're coming now into the area of fellowship, because he says, now think of one another. We've been thinking of the evil one, and we've been thinking how we may be able to stand against him, but now think of all the saints. Think of God's people. Think of the fellowship that you enjoy. Pray with all sorts of types of prayer, continually. Short prayers, long prayers, but pray in the Spirit. Pray continually. Pray for the difficult Christian. Pray for the Christian you get on really well with. Pray for all the saints. Many supplications. You're in this realm of fellowship. And don't forget me, he says. I need prayer. He was a humble man. He never thought that he could do things in his own strength. He knew that without Christ, he could do nothing. But through Christ, he could do all things. But needing the prayer of God's people and the supply of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we're going to consider this morning is the fellowship of prayer. And then secondly, that's in verses 18 to 20. And then secondly, in verses 21 to 22, the fellowship of sharing, because Paul is concerned that they would receive news, news about him. He wasn't content just to write a letter. A letter was so important. It was going to be inspired by God, Holy Scripture, and they needed that, a deposit from God, truth from God. But he knew they needed the personal touch as well. He knew they needed somebody to come to them, Tychicus, to speak to them face to face, somebody to comfort their hearts, somebody, as it were, to bring the spirit of the written page to them, somebody to bring news of Paul, that they wouldn't be struggling and worried about him, wondering what had become of him. So there's the fellowship of sharing in verses 21 and 22. And then in verses 23 and 24, the fellowship of the Father and the Son, that fellowship that we know. Paul is praying that that fellowship might be deepened, that they would know the peace and the grace and the love of God in a greater measure through Jesus Christ. So then we're looking at the aspect of fellowship this morning. Let's begin with the aspect of prayer. When I was in Brazil, I spoke on four occasions, and one occasion, I was asked to speak at a prayer meeting, and it was 7 o'clock at night, and I managed to just get there through all the traffic. But the meeting had started, I was a few minutes late. And as I got in, I was really impressed. The meeting was 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. And there I saw families in the prayer meeting. I saw mother with a little child in arms. I saw children the age of Amy. I saw teenagers there. And I was just so impressed. And then I thought, well, we don't really see that in the UK. All our children go to bed at a set hour. And I was thinking, is life different in Brazil? Do we actually work harder in the UK? And do we have longer hours of work than they have? And then I thought, well, really, that's not the case. These Brazilians get up early and they work very hard. And yet, there they were, wanting to be together in prayer. And I went to another church. I preached on a Sunday night, and the pastor said, we often remember you in prayer. And I was thinking, well, I haven't been very faithful in our church. In some ways, I've been a bit reluctant to speak about Brazil. And I was thinking, our church don't really know about Hebron Church. They pray for us. But I ought to be sharing the blessings of what's happening there with our church, that we ought to pray for them. They're praying for us weekly, often. And do we pray for... Oh, no, it was another church that said, we pray for you weekly. The fellowship of prayer. Paul is stirring these Christians up here in Ephesus to pray for him and to pray for all of God's people, and not just to pray for their own local church. Surely he was saying, remember other churches in Asia Minor. Remember those near to you. Remember the Colossian church. Pray for them also. Remember the Laodiceans. Pray for them. They're not so far from you also. Pray for the believers in Rome. Pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for all the saints. In verse 18, have you noticed the words that he uses? He says this, praying always with all prayer, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What large language, what universal, inclusive language. Praying always with all prayer, all perseverance for all the saints. Paul wouldn't have urged them to do that if that wasn't possible. We might say, well, that's just the level that's expected, but it's actually not possible. He was actually saying it is possible for God's people to be in the Spirit. Doesn't mean every single second of every single minute of every single day, but generally throughout the day, to be lifting God's people to him in prayer. Quick prayers, arrow prayers. And sometimes we feel we fall so far short of that. Maybe it would be good to make a list of all the members of the church and each day pray for them. Maybe there'd be certain people that you want to pray for every single day of your life. Not just family members, but people you feel that particularly need prayer. Paul was encouraging them to pray. Mark Johnston in the Evangelical Movement of Wales magazine, he highlights the danger of thinking of fellowship only in terms of a cup of tea after a service. So some churches, I don't know if this happens in Wales, I've never seen it, but in the States, they actually name a room the fellowship room. I says that's wrong. Fellowship is when we gather together now, as we worship God, as we hear his word. Fellowship is when you're reading your Bible with your family at home. Fellowship is when you're out on the street, walking along and talking to your Heavenly Father. Fellowship isn't just friendship over a cup of tea. Friendship is a spiritual joining together of hearts and minds because you're one in the Lord Jesus. Now, where was Paul when he was writing? Paul was in prison. Paul knew a certain amount of fellowship there. Tychicus was there. Onesimus was there. I'm sure he prayed with them. But there will be times when Paul was all alone, just chained to Roman soldiers. But he felt fellowship with those Ephesian believers, with Colossians. He felt one in the Spirit. He was praying for them. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to be discouraged. It's not always easy to pray, is it? There are many things that hinder prayer. Sometimes when we have so much on our plate, we put these other things first before prayer, instead of praying these matters through. Prayer isn't easy. Prayer is a struggle. Epaphras, he says this, Colossians, well, it says about Epaphras, Colossians 4, verse 12 says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Do you think prayer was easy for Epaphras? No, he labored in prayer. Labor means hard work. But he labored fervently in prayer for all the saints in Colossae. Why? That they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's a tremendous challenge. Here's one man. He's praying, laboring in prayer fervently for the church, for God's people, that they would be mature, stand firm, complete in the will of God. Men ought always to pray and not to be discouraged. There are many things that can discourage you, many things that can cause you to feel low. Do you remember the disciples? It was when they were tired and when they were sorrowful that often they didn't pray. Do you think, remember them in the Garden of Gethsemane? That's when they didn't pray. When they were absolutely shattered. And when they were deeply sorrowful. Jesus said to them, watch and pray. But they didn't. We need to say, Lord, help me in those times when I'm low and struggling. Enable me to pray. Prayer does change things. Think of Elijah. Elijah was a man just like you and me, the same temptations, the same passions, the same human nature. He was a sinful person, yet he prayed fervently with zeal. The Lord closed the heavens, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed, and God heard his prayer, and God opened the heavens. What a remarkable thing. God chooses a little man like Elijah, stirs him up to pray. And God opens the heavens as a result of his prayer. Think how he prayed on Mount Carmel and how fire came down from heaven as a result of prayer. Think of Daniel in the lion's den praying. And the Lord closed the mouths of the lions. Think of how many people have been converted as a result of God's people praying. You can think of the early church and how they would have prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They were praying that God's kingdom would come, that Christ would reign, that people would be saved, and they saw it happening. God uses prayer. And there's a deep fellowship in prayer as we join together in prayer. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? One of my girls was recently at an Anglican church, and although it was a church that believed the Word of God and the Bible, she said, Dad, I found it so hard because it felt like they were just reading the prayers. It felt like it didn't even come from the heart. Now, we've got to be careful in criticizing, haven't we? Because maybe the person was being sincere and it really did come from the heart. But that's how she felt. She said it just felt mechanical, dry, formal. Real prayer is from the heart, isn't it? Real prayer is in the Spirit, is knowing God helping you as you pray. What sort of prayers ought we to pray? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There are requests that we make known to God with thanksgiving in our hearts. We ought to bring everything to God in prayer, the small things in life, everything. God loves to hear us pray. There's much thanksgiving that needs to come from our hearts. We can confess our own sins. We can confess the sins of the church. There's all sorts of prayers that we can pray. If you're struggling to know how to pray, well, remember the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Lord's Prayer through, but pray it through very slowly. When it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," stop there. Then begin to worship and exalt his name. And go through every clause of the Lord's Prayer. When it says, when you pray, "Forgive us our sins or our debts or our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Think of your own sins and ask the Lord to forgive you. And then think maybe of those who've sinned against you and ask the Lord to forgive them. When you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," well, don't just think of your own personal needs. Think of other believers in other countries and their needs. Maybe they have very basic needs of food and of water and of clothes. But pray with all prayer, and pray in particular for the saints. Yes, we can pray for non-Christians, and we ought to pray. But remember the church. Remember God's people. And then Paul says this, "Pray for me." You will have prayed for hurting Christians. You'll have prayed for troubled Christians. You'll have prayed for persecuted Christians. You'll have prayed for Christians going through trials. But pray too for the preachers. Paul had said he was praying for them in chapter 1. He always prayed for them. He wasn't asking them to do something that he wasn't doing himself. He says, "I'm praying for you always with thanksgiving. But pray for me, because without God's help and without God's strength, I will not preach as I ought to preach." Spurgeon would say, "My people pray for me, and I know that you pray for me." But pray for preachers, because preachers can be frightened to speak the truth. Preachers can be tempted to please men rather than God. Preachers can misunderstand the text at times. Preachers need to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit and need to preach what God would have the church hear. Paul says, "Pray that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He needed power and boldness. He wanted to be a good ambassador, even though he was in chains. Because he preached that the gospel was not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile, that's why he was in chains. The Jews didn't like it. They hated it. When he said God's purposes are for the Gentile nations, the Jews couldn't stand it. That's why he was in chains. That was part of the mystery, the gospel, that Jew and Gentile will be one in the Lord Jesus. And he says, "For this reason, because I've preached this message, I'm in chains. But I want to continue to preach this message boldly." I'm sure we all believe that days will become more difficult in the UK. As year goes by year, decade goes by decade, it will be increasingly difficult for preachers to preach the full counsel of God. We've seen it, haven't we? We've said, well, gay marriage will lead to something else. And it is leading to something else. Now it's all about transsexualization. And after that, it will lead to something else. Unless God intervenes. And there will come a day when preachers will be told that if you say that in public, you will go to prison or you will pay a fine. We hope that that won't be the case. We pray for people like Christian Institute that are standing up for these issues. But it wouldn't surprise us if these things come about. But pray that we wouldn't change the message. Pray that we wouldn't water it down. Pray that we would declare boldly the truth of God with all wisdom. It's a lovely hymn that says this: "Restraining prayer We cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armour bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It's wonderful, isn't it? Prayer is the way that God acts. When we had Bill Kappa here a couple of Sundays ago, he said this to us. When he retired, he decided that he would spend more time in prayer. That's lovely. As a businessman, he prayed much. He prayed about all his decisions. When he came to this area, he said he would go to Clantrescent Church here in the middle of the day. He would go into the church and pray. Remember when I was a teacher, St. Mary Redcliffe School in Bristol, what would I do in my lunch times? I'd go into St. Mary Redcliffe Church and pray. We need to be disciplined to find times to pray to the Lord. There will be many distractions, but we need to pray. Do you remember Paul and Silas? They were on their way to that place of prayer, and every single day, a little servant girl who had a spirit of divination, she came behind them, and she sought to perturb them. Every day, they're on their way to prayer, and she sought to distract them. We need to pray. So first of all, we've spoken about the fellowship of prayer. There is a real fellowship as God's people pray for one another. And then secondly, let's think now of the fellowship of sharing. Verses 21 to 22. The New Testament speaks a lot about the fellowship of sharing, doesn't it? In the Bible, you often find that Christians share news freely. Churches share personnel. Paul was often sending preachers, often his best, to other situations. Possessions are shared. You discover that in the New Testament. Sharing is all part of fellowship. Let's read verses 21 and 22. But that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Do you not think that Paul would have wanted Tychicus to have stayed with him, to pray with him? I'm sure he would have wanted him to be alongside him, but he felt it's more necessary that Tychicus went there. He was releasing a servant of the Lord to be with others who needed the presence of the servant of the Lord. He realized that they needed face-to-face contact with a servant of God, that they needed to be comforted. Says this, verse 22, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. You see, Paul realized that the Ephesians really wanted to know how he was getting on. Paul realized he was not forgotten. He realized that they were praying for him. And he wanted them to know also that he was thinking of them. And he wanted them to be comforted. I wonder about us. May it be that people never go out of our lives and are forgotten about. Think of Tim and Haley. They left us 3 years ago. But we remember that family in prayer. We think of Sierra and Hugh. They left us a year or so ago. But we don't forget them. We remember them. We give thanks to God for them. We pray for them. And we want these people to know that we are remembering them. Paul often longed to be with God's people. He often longed to impart a spiritual gift to God's people. He longed to have face-to-face contact. If Paul was living here, it wouldn't have been enough to give a Facebook message. It wouldn't have been enough to write an email. It wouldn't have been enough even to talk on Skype. He would have wanted to be there in person speaking to them. Look at Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you. Yes, I can write to you, he says. I can write a letter to the Romans, but I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. There's something about Christians being together being in the presence of one another, because God is there, the Spirit of God is there, and they can edify and encourage one another. So Paul is always quick to pass on news. Pass on news that somebody's coming, be encouraged. Or I want to come to you, be encouraged. The fellowship of sharing is so important, isn't it? How open are we? When I was in Brazil, I wrote a little email to you. And I said one thing that struck me, I was with a meeting of church workers, and the pastor was speaking, and he was talking to them about being open. So he would have a Bible study with his workers, and he would open up the Word of God, and he would say, what has God been saying to you in your life? How has God been speaking to you? And he was encouraging these Christian workers not just to speak about doctrine that they'd learned in their minds, but to open up their hearts and their lives. When I went to the Bala conference, the same thing happened there. The pastor from Clonethly, Phil Swan, he encouraged ministers to be open and to be vulnerable. Now, of course, you need to be wise. You don't go telling anybody anything. There's certain trustworthy Christians that you can open up your heart to. But there are times, aren't there, where we need to open up to the church as a whole with wisdom. Remember one lady in Brazil very unwisely speaking about the troubles that she was having with her son, and her son was present there, and I thought, that's very unwise. There he was sitting, absolutely embarrassed and struggling, and she was speaking in front of the whole church about him. It's not about that, is it? But there are times where we need to open our hearts to one another in a wise way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. In other words, the apostle was saying, we and my fellow apostles, we've been open. We've hidden nothing. We've been transparent. If there's to be a deeper fellowship, we need to be open with one another. There is a real fellowship in sharing, and it's sometimes only when we make ourselves vulnerable and when we're able to share things that are upon our hearts, it's sometimes only then that we know the depth and the blessing of real fellowship. So Paul is concerned that they would know Tychicus is coming to them to comfort them and to hear news about him. But then lastly, we've thought of the fellowship of prayer. We've thought of the fellowship of sharing. But lastly, fellowship with the Father and the Son. Let's turn back to Ephesians 6 and let's look at the last two verses. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul's wish, Paul's desire, Paul's burden, Paul's prayer was that the brethren would know the peace of God, that the peace of God would rule in their hearts. And not only that, that love with faith would abide in their lives. And he knew that only that came from the Father and from Jesus Christ. If we're to see fellowship deepened and increased, we need to pray that, Lord, that we would know more of your love, more love for one another with faith, that we would know more of your peace abiding in us. Look at Psalm 122. We read it a little earlier. Psalm 122, verses 6 to 8. The psalmist says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we can think of the church, which is the new Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Lord, may there be unity, harmony, oneness of mind. May we know one heart, one mind. May we have one vision to serve and please you. And may we know spiritual prosperity. Peace be within your walls. Far from us, division. Far from us, backbiting. Lord, peace within your walls. prosperity within your palaces. This is the place that God is dwelling. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Wasn't that the legacy that Jesus Christ left? He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what were the words that he spoke to his disciples when he came in behind those closed doors? Peace be to you. That was his legacy. He wants us to enjoy the peace of God. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Paul, he's spoken about wonderful truths. He's spoken in chapter 1 about the doctrine of election, that we've been chosen before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. He's spoken about the wonderful truth of adoption, that we've been predestined to be sons of the living God, adopted into his family, the adoption of sons. He's spoken about redemption, that we have forgiveness through his blood. He's spoken about wonderful things in chapter 1, things to thrill their hearts. And now he's saying at the end of this letter, may it be that peace reigns in your hearts. May the love of God be deepened in your lives. And may grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Those are true Christians, not false Christians, because you always have the false and the true, don't you? You always have the wheat and the tares. But those who really love the Lord Jesus in sincerity, may they know more and more of the grace of God, the undeserved mercy of God in their lives. So then, to close this morning, we've been speaking of fellowship. We've been speaking of the fellowship of prayer, and we all feel weak in that. And we pray, Lord, help us to be more prayerful, praying for all of God's people. The fellowship of your sharing, being open with one another, passing on news, desiring to meet and to be with one another. And sometimes that means difficult things. I can think again of a young man in Brazil. There'd been secret sins going on in his life, and he felt that it was spoiling the fellowship of the church. And so there came a time that he felt he ought to confess it before the church. It was one of the most moving things I've ever seen. He came to the front of the church in absolute tears. And there was a pastor beside him, and he wept and he confessed his sin. He felt he ought to before the church. The pastor prayed, and there's a tremendous sense of fellowship. It's being real, isn't it? Fellowship, openness and honesty. And above all, fellowship is about our relationship with the Father and with the Son. Well, should we close? Let's bow with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that we've come into this relationship with you through our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, there are no barriers between us and you because our sin has been dealt with and paid on the cross, and we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we come to you, we pray that our fellowship with you might first of all be deepened, that we might know you in a greater way, that we would study your word, that we would meditate upon it, that we would be people of prayer, and then our fellowship might deepen with one another, that we might be open and honest with one another, and that we would share, Lord, with one another, and that we would pray for the peace of your people and the prosperity of your church. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.